All right. The anointing of the apostle is still here. I said it's still here. He's gone, but that anointing is still in his classroom, in his facility, in his place. So we're going to start off by doing a little something different. As the Spirit has guided me, this class is a prayer, correct? Well, I'm not going to be the one going to pray starting off this afternoon or this evening. Let's always pray for a few minutes in the Spirit if you want to. Just pray in the Spirit. Let's just begin to set this atmosphere for this class of prayer. This is what we are a class of. We're a class of prayer. We're going to pray so that the Holy Spirit move in this place. Online students, you listening, you pray. I need you praying. Put down the coffee. Put it down. Pray with us. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Oh, let the Holy Spirit reside in this place. Let it move through this classroom. Oh, begin to speak to us, Holy Spirit. Show us things. Open our hearts. Open our minds right now, Holy Spirit. Give us understanding of things we don't understand now. Oh, we permeate this Spirit with prayer right now, Father. May these prayers that we pray right now go into the ears of the heaven right now, God. As they go to heaven, you bring it back down to earth right now, God. Oh, we love you, God. Oh, we love you right now, God. We set this atmosphere for this class right now. Oh, we're not just studying to pray for, but we will be prayers right now, God. We bind anything that tries to keep our minds and hearts from receiving from you right now, God. We release it to you right now, God. We release to you right now, God. Oh, we love you right now. We praise you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. See, that's what this class is about. It's about prayer. See, it's not just about studying something for a book as you learn it from the apostle, but it's about creating and setting up and experiencing what it is we're teaching. And I'll go to God. There are going to be some things said this evening based off of what you just prayed. Because the Spirit, when you pray the Holy Spirit, it says you know not what you're praying for. But as we pray, God's going to give us some answers. Somebody here right now needed an answer. I guarantee you'll get that answer tonight. Hallelujah. All right, let's start. We're going to continue from chapter 3, but one thing I learned from the apostle is always keep a book with you. And when you see a book or you see notes, you know you got something fresh from the Holy Ghost. So turn to Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12. As you turn to Luke 12, go to verse 40. Yes, Luke 12 and 40. Look what it says. It says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not." Now skip on down to 48. "But he that knew not did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with stripes. For to whom much is given of him shall much be what? And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more." We're studying prayer, and I saw this scripture, and I was meditating, and I saw this, where we as believers, we are quick to want the more. We want increase. We want abundance. We want the money. Amen. We want the blessing. We want the anointing. But here, he said, "To whom much is given, much is required." There's a scripture that the Bible talks about how when Jesus went away, he said, "I'm going to pray. I want y'all to sit and wait with me." And he came back and they were asleep. And he said, "You couldn't stay with me and pray for 1 hour?" He went back and came again. They still were asleep. When reading that, I see, if you go back and read this particular scripture, I'm seeing now that much more that's being required. I'm here to believe, I want to be safe to say that I think it's prayer. To whom much is given, much is required. And if you go back and look at Luke 12 and 40, he makes a statement. He said, be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour which you think not. Remember that scripture we start reading in prayer? He said, man should always what? Pray. Why? Why should we always be praying? Because we don't know when he's coming back. And when he comes back, I believe when he comes back, he wants to find a praying church. Because who much is given, much is what? Required. And I think the only way that you want to get that much is when you are in a prayer state, when you are tapped into God praying, and therefore now he can release the much to you. The less you pray, the less you're going to have. The more you pray, the more revelation you go have. Wait, I kind of said, Lord. The more revelation and the more manifestation you're going to have. Because who much is given, much is what? Required. Watch this statement here. Life is not a free ride. Watch what would happen to you when you take responsibility and pray. Say responsibility. It takes a responsible person to pray. I'm going to make a statement, and it correlates with what we've been studying in chapter 1 and 2. This is not the book, so it's going to bless you, though. I said it takes a responsible person to pray, right?
Yes, sir.
Watch this here. They have certain things that will not happen in life until you take responsibility for it. See, they got certain things that's going to that will never happen in your life until you take responsibility. We talk about prayer. Until you take responsibility in praying for that thing, you'll never experience it. Go back and look at every scripture we looked at. It had to take a responsible person to pray to cause those things to happen. See, say responsibility.
Responsibility.
Responsibility goes across the board in every aspect of your life. But I believe if you become responsible in prayer, it'll go on with everything else in your life. Okay, let's prove it. Somebody had to be responsible. Watch this statement. Once again, nothing can happen in life unless someone takes responsibility. What kind of you say, Lord? Nothing significant in life can happen until somebody takes responsibility. Somebody had to come here today to cut this air conditioner on. Somebody had to be responsible. Somebody had to be here to make sure the lights was on. Somebody had to be responsible. Somebody had to get the apostle in to make sure he was mic'd up. Somebody had to be. You got the email. You got the text. The exam wasn't tonight, but it was going to be a class. You had to be. And because you're responsible, something was said. You may not understand it as the apostle said, but it's going to change your life.
Amen.
You may not understand it now, but it's going to come a point you're going to say, I remember that in class, that night. That's what caused me to go this direction. See, but it takes somebody who's responsible. Word of Life, he said it tonight, Word of Life Christian Center would never be in existence if he was not. It takes a responsible person to cause great things to happen. And if you're not responsible in prayer, you'll never see some things. When you become responsible in prayer, three things will happen. Number one, you become empowered by God. Every one of these guys, men and women of God, we look at, once they became responsible, now God empowered them to do something that they couldn't do on their own. When you become a responsible person, the Spirit of God will get on you to cause you, sister, to do something that you normally couldn't do. But it would never happen until you become responsible to pray for that situation. The second thing that will happen to you, when you're responsible in your prayer, there will be an endearment from others. In other words, remember we talked about last week, you will leave a legacy of prayer. See, when you take responsibility and become a prayer, that you become endearment for others. In other words, in Genesis, I think it is 26, I think it was, when they got upset with Amalek, they told him, you got to get out of here. You know, you got too much for us. Matter of fact, let's look at it. I think I got it in my notes. Genesis 26, you need to see this. Genesis 26. Look at verse 28. Watch what he said. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I want to get the logistics of it. And they said, we certainly, that the law, we saw what? That the law was what? We just saw earlier, if you go back and read the beginning there, they said, get from us because you're too much for us. You got too much. Get from around us. But see, when you become responsible in prayer, and people begin to see your life change, they see your prayers begin to get answered, your prayer life now becomes an endearment to others, and they now want to be where you at. They want to do what you do to begin to get the results that you're getting. But you can't, they can't get the, Lord, I hear you, Lord. They would never experience what they need to experience until you become responsible in your prayer life. The third thing that'll happen, then that's going to be when you become responsible in prayer, there will be an endowment of blessings. Everything you need, desire, want will begin to show up. Mm-hmm. When you pray, what you live was literally taking place is you are taking a kingdom responsibility. When you become so efficient in your prayer, when we become a prayer, you're taking kingdom responsibility. The apostle said it earlier. He began to ask the question, what is the apostolic government? What is apostolic government? Heaven to earth. Heaven to earth. So what happens when we pray, we're literally taking on a kingdom responsibility to make sure earth is taken care of. I heard something, I want to repeat it. He said, when you start praying, you stop Satan and start Jesus. When you start praying, see, when you start, Satan automatically got to stop. But then at the same time, Jesus got to start. Man, I love it. All right, now, we began to deal with chapter 3 last week about ask me. And we were talking about preparing and big preparation. We talked about the date and everything. You get that example I gave you. All right. We talked about search me, O Lord. All right. The book says we must prepare ourselves to pray to be like Christ. And to pray like Christ, we must meet the conditions of prayer. We can begin to examine the conditions of prayer by reading the verses Isaiah 45, 11 through 12. Now watch this here. He said we must meet certain conditions to what? To pray. We'll meet certain conditions to do what?
Pray.
To pray. We'll meet certain conditions to pray. Watch this here. We must be in a certain condition to get a certain position. We must be in a certain condition to reach a certain position. See, there are certain requirements that we're going to have to meet in order to get in the position we want to be in. Look what he says. He said, thus said the Lord, Isaiah 45 and 11. Through 12. Thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his master, ask me of things come concerning my sons and concerning the work of thy hand. Command me. I've made the earth and I've created upon it. And even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all that host have I commanded. Pastor said something on Sunday. Matter of fact, the apostle said something. If you're not members here and you didn't hear this sermon Sunday, I would advise you to call and get that CD in your library. You got to get it. He made a statement about the word, but when he made the statement about the word of God, something leaped to me about this class with prayer, and I got this statement. Watch what it said. We must pray. Why? It jumps back to chapter 1 and 2. Because prayer has a continued breath. Prayer has a continued breath. I love that, boy. It never stops breathing. You know how when you get on a treadmill and you're going to walk in or something, and you know, I'm going to get in shape, you know, I'm going to work out, and you get in there, you can feel good when you go in that gym, you're in that treadmill, and you're just walking, and about 5-10 minutes, pull that thing so it'll stop, get off, you know, you're tired and everything, so you're out of breath, so you can't go no farther. But prayer has a continued breath. It can keep walking. It can walk the universe if it won't. It can walk 10 miles, 20 miles. It just don't lose its capacity of what you're praying, because prayer has a continued breath. Every time you talk to God, your prayer is being heard. While you sleep, your prayer is being heard. While you work, your prayer is being heard. While you having disagreement, your prayer is still being heard. While you miss it, and thank God for grace and mercy, your prayer is still being heard. It has a continued breath. It said, we have not made prayer, Lord have mercy, we have not made prayer, we have not rested on prayer. We have not made prayer the sole condition. God, no. Go to Matthew 7. We have not made prayer the sole condition. We try everything else. We go to more conferences. We go to more this. We go to more that. More programs. More musicals. More this and more that. We're doing more of that, but less prayer. And prayer is the thing that's going to cause complete change. Think about it. We got this loose conference. This deliverance conference. Man free conference. Women of war conference. Holy Ghost conference. Faith-filled word conference. How many times you been to a prayer conference? Man of God teaching you how to get in the presence of God. Hallelujah. What I said, Matthew 7? What I said, Matthew 7? What I'm going there for? I don't even know. I say there has been a violation of the primary condition of prayer. We have not prayed correctly. Mm-hmm. Let's do Matthew 7, 21. I got that in line, so it must be something in it. Matthew 7. Not everyone that has said to me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and have cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works? I said, okay, Lord. So he said, there's a violation of primary condition. We have not prayed correctly. So there's a place where you can think you're praying, but the Lord don't know you. The Bible calls some prayers vain repetition, because some people try to entertain when they pray. Matter of fact, the Bible says when you do that, you've already gotten your reward. That's what I heard the man of God in the last class talking about, trying to take God glory. He put a bucket on his head. See, whenever the presence of God, Brother Smith's wiggle word, whenever he started, the presence of God would fall into place and the glory would fall. He would put a bucket on his head to make sure that people didn't try to get him the glory. You see, so what happens is when you pray, or when in prayer, because out of tradition, we pray a certain way, we do certain things, and we want glory from man. I've seen it. I don't know if you've seen it. You say, boy, you sure can pray. They invite people to certain church just so they can pray. But God say, I don't know you. How would you feel? You've been doing all that praying all these years of your life, and finally that day come, and you go on up to glory, and you get to, you tell God, you know what I mean? God say, I don't know you. But I prayed every Sunday in church. I just don't know you. Your prayers never got my ears. They went to man's ears. And remember the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is to get the words of God into the ear, get the word of God into the ears of God. We've concentrated on entertaining, getting the words of God into the ears of man. He said, ask me. What he said? Ask me. When he says, ask me, this is the invitation is conveyed, the assurance of an answer. In other words, look, when you pray and ask me, I guarantee you I'm going to give you an answer. I guarantee you I'm answering. Now, if we know he's going to answer us, then why don't we pray as we should? He said, they shout of victory is theirs and may be heard by listening. Listen here. Now watch this statement. The Father holds the authority and power in his hands. How easy is the condition? And yet how slow are we in fulfilling the condition? We slow. Prayer is the key, but we're slow to fill the condition. Because we want what? Joel dealing with chapter 3. Ask. He said, ask of me. What do he want you to do? Ask of me. What do he want you to do? Ask of me. I'm not going to go to it, but see, a lot of times we preach this sermon about the prodigal son, but there's a flip side to the story. We always teach from the aspect of the son who left the house. He disobeyed daddy. He took his money, went out, had riders living, went to pig pen, da 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 da. But if you go back and research, now see that young boy, he had sense. He has sense. Why? Because listen what he said. Listen to the word of God. What are we dealing with? Chapter 3. Ask. The prodigal son said, you know what? I done messed up. I'm tripping. I'm tripping. But I'm going to go back and ask my father for forgiveness. And when he went back and asked, the father gave him an answer. And not only did he give him an answer, he gave him a nice ring, some nice alligator shoes, and a nice tailor-made suit. In 21st century, you understand, terms. So he took care of that boy. Now the older son gets upset. And he said, what's going on? He said, your brother was dead, but he's alive. He's back home. And he wouldn't even come inside. So the father went out. Father, what's wrong with you, son? He said, Father, I've been here the whole time. I've met your conditions. I ain't never gave you no problem. I ain't never been in jail. You had to come out of past prison. I ain't never did nothing wrong. I'm serious. You had to do nothing. And you ain't never gave me no party. Now watch the father now. He said, son, all that I have is thine. But they ain't finished the sentence, because the next sentence would be is, all you had to do was just. So when God starts blessing or using men and women of God, ain't no sense of getting mad that God blessing them. All you got to do is just. Now, if it's just that simple, then why are you not praying and. See, the older son, that's how he was. He had, Lord Jesus, that reminds me of the church. You got everything. Apostle ain't the only one that got all the, he ain't got all the cars. He ain't got all the rings. He don't have all the black. Listen, the problem is you're not meeting the condition. But once you meet the condition and get in a prayer and ask him, I can hear God speaking from heaven now saying, son, daughter, all that I have is thine. All you got to do is just ask. He said, ask of me. The father holds himself in the attitude of a giver. How do I know he's a giver? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The gospel is divinely inspired, and behind all its inspiration is prayer. Did you hear that? The gospel is divinely inspired, and behind his inspiration in prayer. You hear the apostle talk all the time. I'm going to constantly revert back to him because he is our model, the one we use, our modern day model. Write this down. In order to get certain revelation, I must have a prayer life. In order to get certain revelations, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to tell you this now. They have certain miracles that you've missed simply because you didn't pray. Oh, yes, sir. I guarantee you. I'm in the boat, too. They says I study. They are certain. See, listen to me. They have certain things in your life. Remember, I told you there are certain places God allows you to go to cause you to pray. But in that same token, they got certain miracles that you would never receive unless you do pray. See, while you complaining about the situation, while you sobbing about it, having a pity party, God said it's your opportunity to pray to cause a miracle. But because you chose not to pray and just soak, hold your head down, get on the phone, talk about the problem. First of all, keep your mouth shut, don't tell nobody your problem. And go to God. God say, now I got an opportunity to do something about this. She's coming to me now. And she's asked me. Say, ask of me. And I'll show you. I give you the answer. Oh, Lord. Y'all got that spirit on y'all again. See, what the problem is, y'all got that song stuck in your head. You know what that woman said? She said, come to me. Don't ask my neighbor. That's what she said, didn't it? See, the problem is you've been asking the wrong person. You've been asking your best friend for advice. You've been asking the person at your job for advice. God said, no, don't come to me. Don't ask nobody. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Y'all get what I'm trying to tell you. The prayers of holy men are streaming up to God as a fragrance of the richest incense. And God in many ways is speaking to us, declaring his wealth and impoverishment. He says, I am the maker of all things. The wealth and glory are mine. Command me. Now watch what he says here. Nevertheless, we can have all that God has for us. He says, command ye me. Now watch this statement here. And since we're over there, Matthew, he said, we can do all things by God's aid. By what?
God's aid.
You over there, Matthew, flip over to Matthew's 19. Now that song in my head, come to me, don't be afraid. Glory to God. Matthew 19. And my statement was here where it says, nevertheless, we can have all that God has for us. Something. All things. He said, command me. Command you me. I never forget growing up, because of tradition, they used to always tell us when I was a little boy, they used to tell us, don't you tell God what you want. Don't you question God. Now, even as a young man, I just had problems. I had problems. Because, you know, I tried to be bad. I tried to be disrespectful. But what was that, James? And said, if you don't know something, ask. He said, any man lack wisdom, let him what? Now, I knew that scripture as a little boy, being a Bible school, but a Bible in Sunday school and vacation Bible school, and they used to tell us, don't ask God because you'll question God's authority. And I'm like, well, why in the Bible? Why I say ask if we don't understand? I just didn't. So I just be quiet up here, popping lips. I just didn't say nothing. But I had questions. See, nobody ever told me that. They told me, don't you ask God. Now, this is weird. If you get your leg cut off, this is weird. No, you should have been out there on that railroad track train playing with that train. Nobody's leg got cut off. Matthew's 19. We talk about we can do all things by God's what? Aid. Now watch Matthew's 19. And this is going to help us in prayer right here. He says, look at 19 and 26. Matthew's 19 verse 26. But Jesus held them and said to them, with men, this is what?
Impossible.
But with God, all things are what?
Possible.
Now notice one word here. With. It didn't say, but God, all things are possible. It says, but with. With here is indication that there's something that I still have to do. See, we read that scripture and say, with men, things are possible, but God will do everything. That's how we read that thing. God said, no, there's a condition that you've got to meet. And when you meet that condition, I'll move along with you. But I can't be with you if you ain't meeting the condition in how we didn't stand together. Remember, I told you, he said, you can't do nothing until after you prayed. See, after you prayed, now God give you instruction. He said, now I'll move along with you in this thing. So what we try to do in prayer, well, sometimes we'll try to pray and leave it all on God's shoulder. God said, no, there's some things that you got to do to help me get you through this thing.
Wow.
The man of God had to class earlier because there's some things I told you not to do that you did anyway. And because you did it, now we have a thing called consequence.
Yeah.
And see, consequences don't leave. Because that allows you to grow. It allows you to understand, I'm not going to do that again. If you choose so. All right. The gospel in its success and power depends on our ability to pray. Lord, have mercy. Now, I like this statement here we got down here. He said, of all the duties enjoined by Christianity, none is more essential and yet more neglected than prayer. It is the most... I don't know too much about it, but somebody may be able to help me. Mama's in here or whoever, nurse, doctor. But what you supposed to have every day? Vitamin B, A, C? Which one of them there? Vitamin C, something. Well, let's just say it's vitamin C for teaching sake. We don't know which one is up here. All I know is you're supposed to have some vitamins every day. Yeah. Somebody say you should have had a V8. The point is, prayer is more essential than those vitamins. That's the point. So my point is, if you got people who every day to make sure they take their vitamin C, they get vitamin B12, they want to make sure they get the sun, they get their vitamin D, they want to make sure they drink enough water, put fluid in their body. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to put certain oils in their hair to keep their hair healthy and all that good stuff. They're going to do all that. You understand what I'm saying? They're going to take care of themselves. But the question now is, Lord, that was my deal. Look, I got to stop watching that. I got to stop watching that food. So what happens is, though, prayer is more important than that. Listen, I'm not trying to be rude or nasty when I say this, but prayer is more important than you get up, brush your teeth, wash your face in the morning. Before you do all that, because he's the one that gives you the ability to do that in the first place. God don't care about how your breath smells. Just roll out the bed, lead him over there, and just go over there and just start. Lord, thank you for this day. But when your feet hit the floor, because it's a blessing, man. To wake up, have your legs, wake up and just, Lord, you gave me another day. I can feel my leg. I can feel my feet. Lord, thank you. And see, that begins to set the course for the rest of the day, the rest of the week. That even if the enemy does try to intervene, you already prayed up. All right. Most people consider prayer, the exercise of prayer, as a fatiguing ceremony, which they are justified in abridging as much as possible. In other words, when you start talking about prayer, Lord, that's how the end of the work. Some of y'all can testify to this. Don't be lying up here, because we're in this classroom, but this is church. It seems like you can have energy to clean the house, get the clothes out the dryer, cook for the kids, go to the grocery store, go play football with the boys, basketball. You can just get energy. Even if you get off of work, we're going to shoot ball today. But as soon as you say, Lord, I'm going to sit down and read and just pray. Read by three. so you get tired. See, that's the enemy. We think prayer is something that's fatiguing, man. But that's the enemy, because he don't want you to pray. Because when you pray, that's when the answers going to show up, man. That's when revelation going to hit the place. So, you get that sleepy spirit. I'm serious. People show up for service, but he won't show up for intercessory prayer. No, won't show up for prayer. God, I'm tired. I just got off of work. But let's talk about going to the store after. Tango, they got some polo shirt. You'll be right over there, boy. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. And it says, even those who are professing or fears lead them to pray with such longer and wanderings of mind in their prayers, far from drawing down blessings, only increase their condemnation. In other words, too, that when you begin to pray, you ever been there? When you begin to pray, Lord, that's the enemy, I'm telling you. You're praying. You made your mind up. You got your Bible. The pastor say, keep your notepad. Lord, I talk to you. Ha, ta, ta, da, 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 Now, I told my husband, put that garbage out. He never said right at that door. I told him to put that garbage out. Ha, ta, 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 ta. Ha, my, na, 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 na. Now, she know that was my lunch. She shouldn't have ate my lunch today. She saw my name was on that lunch. I'm saying, you try, and your mind just start going all kind of places. You know, it's Monday, and you're thinking about hot tat tat. What am I going to cook Friday? Lord, I don't want no fish. We do fish every Friday. Man, I don't want to cook nowhere. I really want to go out. You know, mine just started wondering, man. Yeah, like y'all been there before or something. See, but that goes to show us how powerful prayer is, because that's one entity that the enemy wants to steal from you. Wait, not just the one. He wants to steal. He said, Bible said he come and meet us and steal the word that was sown into you. And he want to take your prayer life. Because he know those two things. You get the word and start praying on it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We look through the scriptures in chapters 1 and 2, how it caused God to change his mind about certain things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen. I'm going to make this statement. Look. The true Christian does not pray to stir himself up, but his prayer is the stirring up of himself to take hold of God. Amen. Listen to this statement. Something has to happen on earth before heaven can move. Something has to happen on earth before heaven can move. Yeah, you move, you cause things to happen in heaven. When you take the word of God, when you pray, it opens the floodgates of heaven. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you pray. And that's what you're going to do the rest of the week, pray, because that's my own time. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Do well in your test. I can advise you, once again, read the sentence completely. Watch your wording.